we are going to address a comment from a reader. This comment was on our broadcast number 7 with regard to how Obama has magnified the policies of the Bush administration. And the comment reads as follows. The real question is, why does the right, who supported this Bush's insanity then, accuse Obama of continuing that insanity now? Perhaps it's not the same as what Bush did. If Obama was continuing Bush's policies, you'd think Bush supporters would support him, wouldn't you?
Well, I really don't think that Bush's supporters could ever be cowed into agreeing with Obama merely for their pride. It has nothing to do with the policies expressed by Obama.
Yes.
Or the policies put into action. Of course, the words Obama uses to justify his policies are very different from the words Bush used to justify his policies.
My theory is it's a partisan game, and it's always the party that is not in power in recent American politics that actually makes the more sensible statements and comes to the defense of individual freedom.
Well, not always, but in many cases. Shall we say that minorities are more likely to try to protect freedoms, be they political minorities or any other sort of minority?
But the party out of power has an incentive to criticize the initiatives of the party in power. The party in power will most often succeed on those initiatives where it can gather at least some support from the party that's out of power. So, for instance, why was Bush so successful in expanding entitlement programs that the Democrats actually favored, except a lot of Democrats said Bush wasn't going far enough?
Of course.
However, Bush was able to enlist some of the Democrats on the fence.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm cynical, but I honestly don't think that it matters to the president or to Congress what people in general think anymore. I think it stopped mattering sometime near Bush's second term. Mm-hmm. And I really think it's inconsequential whether you disagree with the policies of whatever administration, because it's unlikely that the people could do anything to stop political decisions. All the government needs to do is convince enough senators on the other side of the aisle to support X or Y policy. And convincing a senator is a lot easier than convincing a standard individual. It's partly because senators can be bought in a way that people can't. It's not that people are more principled than senators. People could be bought, too, but it's harder to buy individuals than it is to buy senators who have constituent interests.
Well, the issue is the United States has become very much a playground for concentrated special interests. It's a standard public choice scenario where if a particular policy has very dispersed costs throughout the general population and concentrated benefits, then the entity that has a very strong interest in the concentrated benefits is going to pursue them. The general public that might bear a few cents more cost per person as a result of the policy is going to acquiesce. Now, on the other hand, there comes a point where the policies become so invasive that it ceases to be a matter of paying just a few cents more, having taxes that are a little higher, having a little more waste. I think the system has reached a critical mass right now, where it's crossing the line from mere inefficient welfare nanny state into totalitarian fascist state.
Well, it's not there yet, but it's on its way. Various initiatives recently are suggesting this. There's some sort of bill to put these full-body scanners in all the airports, and the most concerning one on the horizon, in my view, is ACTA, which is the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement.
Mm-hmm. ACTA, in my opinion, is perhaps the most dangerous proposal being made today. And it's dangerous not just because of its content, it's dangerous because of the secrecy with which it has been discussed. The first time a draft has even been released was in April of this year.
And yet they've been planning this since 2007. It's not just the United States. One of the problems with ACTA is that it's worldwide. And it's, well, how to describe ACTA to people who haven't heard about it? Well, they use counterfeiting as a term to refer to any violation of intellectual property. And I know that there are a lot of ambiguous feelings about intellectual property in libertarian circles. Not everyone feels the same way about it. But there are right and wrong ways of promoting creators' rights.
Yes.
If you want to go about it. And ACTA does very little to help individual small creators. Mm-hmm. It is basically a giant bone being tossed to the MPAA and the RIAA. It takes every unauthorized copyright violation of some sort, and in the United States it would make them felonies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the really big problem with ACTA is it changes the nature of copyright infringement from a civil offense to a criminal offense. In
yes.
a civil offense, the offended party could sue you, and that's typically time-consuming and expensive.
And you pay several thousand dollars a song, and it's expensive, and it's hard, but you're not going to be labeled a felon for life and be unable to vote because you had a couple of Justin Bieber MP3s on your hard drive.
Yes, the problem with ACTA is that it's not even necessary for the holder of the intellectual property rights to explicitly decide to go after the infringer. Indeed,
right. It basically makes the government the puppet of the RIAA and the MPAA. They're doing the RIAA and the MPAA's dirty work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, people could say, if you're committing a crime anyway, shouldn't you be punished for it? But there are situations in which the copyright holder actually wouldn't mind you using the work for fair use or whatever else.
Yes.
And yet, there are plenty of incompetent and vigilante justice-pursuing type prosecutors and sheriffs, etc., who would be happy to take somebody down. Basically, the issue with this is that it would make anyone arrestable at any time.
Yes.
Because there's no one who hasn't looked at an unauthorized photo on the internet, accidentally downloaded something like that without permission. YouTube. You can't use YouTube without countless copyright infringements.
Mm-hmm.
Just someone wants to put background music on their video of them, you know, taping their hamster run around the room or something. There's going to be a song in the background, and it's probably something they didn't buy the rights to.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch this, you're a felon.
The big issue is internet service providers are essentially going to be coerced into also being enforcers for this. Previously, under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which was bad enough in itself.
Because you could file false claims.
Yes. At least the internet service providers were exempted from liability for what traffic was on their system. So whatever the users did, the ISP could not be held responsible for. And so there was a level of privacy and a level of protection there. Now that would be taken away with ACTA.
Well, this would effectively mean that your ISP would be monitoring every single thing you did on the internet. And of course, there's the standard line of, if you don't have anything to be ashamed of, then why are you objecting? You know, you must be hiding something if you don't want someone inspecting your traffic. But it's not like that. The issue is that you can't trust other people not to deeply misunderstand things, or something could even be done maliciously. Someone could effectively Rickroll you and make you a felon.
Yes.
If Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up becomes contraband.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we've seen how DMCA notices have been abused on YouTube by people who simply disagree with other people's ideas, and there's no copyright violation of any kind, but false DMCAs get filed all the time.
And this leads me to another one of the big problems with ACTA, and that is, it would give the federal government the right to search your files without a warrant, given probable cause.
No probable cause?
It's even worse than I thought.
So even if you're suspected without any evidence of copyright infringement, they could search your computer, and either way, you would get punished.
So someone just accuses you
Yes.
of having contraband, copyrighted material on your computer that you don't have the rights to have. And if you agree, you're going to get into trouble because they'll find something. There's no one who doesn't have some little bit of copyrighted material on their computer. Even people who buy all their music from iTunes and all their games legitimately, if they use the internet,
yes,
they are going to have something on their
yes.
computer. An image, a piece of text, anything.
And keep in mind, the RIAA's position on ripped MP3 files from CDs is that people can't make copies
right.
for their own use.
Right, so if you've bought all your own CDs legitimately and then ripped the files and you can't find the CD anymore, they'll basically accuse you of being a pirate because you can't prove otherwise. So either you agree to this kind of search or you object and become, well, an obstructor of justice, shall we say, as they might put it.
Yes,